Good evening. Welcome to the regular monthly meeting of the City of Atlanta Board of Ethics. The board is an independent, citizen-appointed board that works to ensure honesty, integrity, accountability, and trust in city government. The board administers and enforces the Code of Ethics by interpreting the city's ethical standards, administering the financial disclosure program, investigating ethics complaints, and determining if ethics violations have occurred. The board meets every third Thursday of the month at 6 o'clock p.m. in City Council Committee Room 1. Ethics questions or complaints may be submitted via email to ethicsofficer@atlantaga.gov or by phone at 404-330-6286. The board is composed of seven city residents, each appointed to serve a three-year term of office. All board members are community volunteers who receive no pay for their service. They are Nicola Hines, appointed by the League of Women Voters, who is seated to two spaces to my right. Raya Greathouse, appointed by the Gate City Bar Association, who is to my far left. Jessica Stern, seated next to Raya, who was appointed by the Atlanta Bar Association, who is also a vice chair of the board. Todd Gray to my immediate left, appointed by the Atlanta Business League, and Jerry Newmark to my immediate right, appointed by the Atlanta Planning Advisory Board. My name is Kate Wash, and I was, appointed by the six major universities. Assisting the board is Ethics Officer Jeb Busengoba, who is seated to my far right. We have a quorum and a full house, actually, tonight, so we will begin with the first order of business. And that is the review of the minutes of the July 20 meeting, which is behind tab one. And do I have a motion to approve and adopt those minutes? Thank you. Is there a second? Thank you, Jerry. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. The July 20 minutes are adopted as presented. Next item of business, formal advisory opinions. The first is the request from Invest Atlanta to reconsider and rescind formal advisory opinion 2013-1. Ms. Sengova, do you have a report or a recommendation?
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening, board members. Jeb Busengoba, for benefit of the public, Jeb Busengoba, ethics officer. As you recall, this matter came up before the board on July 20th, 2017, based on a request by Invest Atlanta to reconsider and rescind formal advisory opinion, which was issued in 2013, regarding premium seating at the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And the second request was that the board should issue a new opinion. For the benefit of the public, Section 2816A prohibits the city from entering into a contract that requires passes, tics, or gratuities. The second part of that code section is Section 2816B1, which looks at the official duty exception, and I'll address both shortly in response to the arguments presented by Invest Atlanta at the July 20th board meeting. The first argument, which was presented by General Counsel Ms. Newell, was that there was no violation of Section 2816A because Invest Atlanta paid sufficient consideration for the premium seating, and therefore there were no tickets or gratuities. Basically, Ms. Newell argued that Invest Atlanta agreed to provide services that were material to the transaction and provided $20 million in bond financing as consideration, which grants the entity the right to the premium seating. In response to that, and as determined by this board in formal advisory 2013, Section 2816A expressly prohibits tickets. and that also means tickets, passes, or access to a suite, and prohibits parties to contract for such things at any reduced rate. I would also assert that Invest Atlanta did not provide the $200 million. It only financed the facilitated the financing, and the return on the financing will be provided by publicly funded monies through the hotel motel tax, not Invest Atlanta. The second argument was that Invest Atlanta would only use the tickets for economic and business development purposes, and that meets the official duty exception, which is set forth again in 2816B1. And I'd like to clarify that because I think there's been some misinterpretation of the official duty exception. Invest Atlanta asserts that the exception applies because certain employees have the continuous responsibility to seek potential developers and site selectors in their official capacity. While I think that Invest Atlanta made the argument based on its the work that it does for the city, and I'm not minimizing that, this board has found that the official duty exception is a narrow one that's limited to a specific duty at a specific event. So this is a pretty important point. So it does not provide an ongoing right of free entry. So therefore, we would submit that Invest Atlanta performing their daily duties does not fall under this exception. And seeking clients would not be an official duty and does not meet the exception. The exception, again, is narrowly tailored to officials and employers that are performing an official duty at the invitation of the event sponsor. The other argument was based on the ticket policy that Invest Atlanta has developed. In response to that, I would say that because the ticket provision expressly violates Section 2816A, that ticket policy should not be considered. Further, Invest Atlanta did not provide any evidence that the cities with ticket policies that they provided, that those cities, per their code and policies, included a premium seating provision within their city contract terms, whatever terms they had. I would say, I guess, in conclusion, in terms of the first request, in terms of the consideration of Advisory Opinion 2013-1, we would submit that that request was not timely filed and should be denied. Invest Atlanta waived any due process challenges it may have had. In 2013, this board held public hearings, and this opinion was posted to the board's website since 2013. In regards to the second request, I would argue that Advisory Opinion 2013 correctly found that the contract provision governing the use of premium seating at the new stadium violates Section 2816. Therefore, there should be no opinion issued. Further, the official duty exception does not apply to the facts here, and therefore, finding no grounds to reconsider or rescind the opinion, there should be no new opinion, and that would be my recommendation.
Thank you, Ms. Sangoba. Is there a motion that the board should adopt Ms. Sangoba's recommendation and deny the request to reconsider and rescind the formal advisory opinion issued in November 2013?
Ms. Sangoba, I have a brief question. I know that you sent the
motion first
and discussion.
Yeah, we need, generally, we need a motion and a second prior to the discussion. So is anyone prepared to make a motion one way or the other on the request to reconsider and rescind 2013-1?
I move that we table the decision on this until questions can be addressed.
It's not a decision. I'm just looking for a motion, then we can discuss, and then we make a decision. The motion isn't the decision, that's all.
Okay, yeah, you have to make a motion and then follow up with discussion. Motion either way.
I move to make the motion to adopt Ms. Sangova's recommendation.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hines. Is there a second? Thank you. Now, Ms. Stern, your questions.
Ms. Sangova, I know that you sent the board by email the responses from Invest Atlanta. I had requested some
additional information, correct?
Is that located in this packet as well?
Well, we provided that to you prior to the meeting.
I know, but is it in this packet?
Not right in front of you.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not missing it. Thanks.
Are there further questions or further discussion? Okay. All right, so we've got a motion and a second. If there is no further discussion, I will call for a vote. So the question is whether we adopt Ms. Sangova's recommendation regarding formal advisory opinion 2013-1. All in favor of adopting Ms. Sangova's recommendation, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Motion.
I'm sorry. Just for the record.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I should have asked that.
Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to review what was sent by Ms. Mangova, and I just don't have enough full information to make a decision today. We were a bit preoccupied with some of the issues that were happening with
some other issues
with
yes.
the board, and I just didn't have an opportunity to review it. I apologize. I know it's important to everyone, but I have to abstain.
All right. Well, I am in favor, so we have all in favor except for Ms. Stern, who abstains, and therefore the board hereby adopts the recommendations made by Ms. Sangova. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, we'll prepare a letter for you, Ms. Newell, and now with the board chair's signature. Apologize.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Newell. Second item, request to amend formal advisory opinion 2005-7 regarding the use of city property for candidates for city office. Ms. Sangova?
So that is, I think, right behind the last information. One moment, please. So really, this is an opinion that dates back to 2005, and really the basis of our request is given that we are in election season, and this opinion is over 12 years old, we've had to update some of the policies regarding social media. So that is the basis for this request to amend this opinion. If you look at the second page, and we did send these materials out to you prior to the meeting, again, in primary, the change really addresses social media accounts and use of social media during the election season. So at this time, I'm requesting that the board accept our request to update this opinion so it can be posted to our website, since we are getting a lot of requests for information during the election season.
Okay, and then it looks like that change is added on the bottom of page 3, is that right?
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
All right. Is there a motion to amend this opinion 2005-7 as recommended by the ethics officer?
A motion to update the opinion based on Ms. Sangova's report.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. The motion passes. Right. Financial disclosures. Mr. Santiago. That works.
Okay. Check. That's a little bit better. Okay. It's a little bit awkward, but we'll get it going. Okay. Good evening, board members. Carlos Santiago, Associate Ethics Officer. The first financial disclosure item before you today involves the proposed removal for good cause of two individuals from the 2017 roll of delinquent filers. Since the board's adoption of the most recent amended roll at the July meeting, new information has come to our attention, which we believe warrants the removal of two individuals from the roll. The first individual is Mr. Kirk Wilkes. Mr. Wilkes was a former city employee with the Department of Aviation. Without going into further detail, we recently discovered that Mr. Wilkes passed away, and that's why we're asking to remove him from the role of filers. Second individual is Ms. Theora Powell. Ms. Powell is a former city board member with WorkSource Atlanta. She left the board in February of this year following departure from her employee who was the appointing authority for her. The address that we were provided by the agency was her former employer's address. So our mailings, none of them were returned because it was a good address. However, we were contacted by Ms. Powell earlier this week. One of her coworkers ended up forwarding the notices to her, but she did not receive them until now, and she filed immediately. And I also took a look back at her filing record, and she's been a timely filer for the past few years. So she's so essentially what happened is we'd had a bad address the entire time, so she wasn't noticed properly. So for that reason, we're looking to remove her from the role. And then I guess for the reasons we above stated, we respectfully ask the board move to amend the 2017 role of delinquent filers to reflect the removal of both Mr. Wilkes and Ms. Powell for good cause.
All right. Is there a motion to amend the 2017 role of delinquent filers as described by Mr. Santiago?
I move that we amend the role of delinquent filers to remove Mr. Wilkes and Ms. Powell from that list.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. The motion passes. And then an update on enforcement efforts, Mr. Santiago?
Yes. We actually have the cases before you this evening. And in the interest of time, I'm going to do my best to streamline my presentation so we can move efficiently through the cases. We do have 26 financial disclosure cases this year, of which I'll present to you. And they fall into two main categories. The first is our late filers, which includes 12 required filers who filed after the end of the two-week late filing grace period, which ended on April 17th. And they did so without reasonable cause. And we have another group of non-filers, which includes 14 required filers who failed to file or demonstrate reasonable cause for doing so, as required by Section 284 of the Code of Ethics. For the benefit of the public, Section 2814 requires city employees and officials falling under the required filer categories listed in the code, as well as those whose positions or work duties are determined by the ethics officer to pose a significant risk of a conflict of interest, to file a city financial disclosure statement during their employment with the city and in the year following their departure from city service. The filing deadline for 2017 is April 3rd, 2017. For each case, we will show by preponderance of the evidence that, one, the respondent is a person who is required under the code to file, two, that the respondent received proper notice pursuant to Section 2814 and Board Rule 8, and that the respondent failed to respond to the notices or appeal the penalties, or if the respondent appealed the penalties, they did not provide reasonable cause to warrant a waiver or reduction of the fine to be imposed. Regarding appeals, if the respondent filed an appeal, the penalty is the board. I will state so for the record. For housekeeping purposes, your notebooks are laid out. Yellow tabs within your enforcement books are for the late filers. Blue tabs are for non-filers. Within the front pocket, I have a copy of Board Rule 8 for you, and also the required elements and the standard review for these matters. Exhibits 1 through 5. Within your notebooks for each case, you'll see Exhibits 1 through 5, which are documentary evidence of our meeting the notice requirements set forth by Section 2814 of Board Rule 8. These exhibits are the same for all of the cases before you today. They are the notice to file letter, warning letter, notice of delinquency letter, notice of administrative decision, right to appeal, and the notice of letter hearing for letter for this hearing. With all the cases before you today, none of the required mailings were returned to the ethics offices. Therefore, in the interest of avoiding repetition of the same facts regarding notice for all cases, and because the respondents have not disputed these notices, we would respectfully ask that the board accept exhibits 1 through 5 for each case as evidence that the ethics office has met all notice requirements under Section 2.
I'm not sure if we need a motion on that or not.
Yes, that's a motion. Sorry.
Thank you.
So that's an action item.
Yes. All right. So do I have a motion that we accept Exhibits 1 through 5 for each of these cases as presented by Mr. Santiago? Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Thank you.
Okay, so to begin, we'll start with the late filers. We have 12 late filers this year who are each required to file under Section 2814 and who owe fines pursuant to Board Rule 8.6. Respondent in each of these cases filed after the end of the late filing grace period without demonstrating reasonable cause. Of the 12, only one respondent submitted an appeal of the penalties. I will handle the 11 late filer cases with no appeal first, and then I'll present the one case containing an appeal at the end. The first case is FD 17015 in the matter of Cheney Joseph. Cheney Joseph is a city board member with the Beltline Affordable Housing Advisory Board. Mrs. Joseph filed her statement on April 18, 2017, and therefore owes a filing penalty of $50. FD 17021, Fred Martin is a city employee with the Department of Public Works. Mr. Martin filed his statement on April 18, 2017, and owes a late filing penalty of $50. FD 17005, matter of Sharon Douglas. Sharon Douglas is a former city employee with the Department of Aviation. Ms. Douglas filed her statement on May 30th, 2017, and owes a late filing penalty of $200. FD 17009, Vince Hall Jr. is a former city employee with the Department of Watershed. Mr. Hall Jr. filed his statement on April 21st, 2017, and owes a late filing penalty of $50. FD 17012, David Allen Henderson, is a former city employee with the Department of Watershed. Mr. Henderson filed his statement on August 31st, 2017, and owes a late filing penalty of $250. FD 17023, in the matter of Johnny Millsap. Johnny Millsap is a former city employee with the Department of Public Works. Mr. Millsap filed his statement on June 1st, 2017, and owes a late filing penalty. FD 17024, Kwesi Natambo is a former city employee with the Department of Public Works. Mr. Natambo filed his statement on August 22, 2017, and owes a late filing penalty of $250. FD 17027, Jason Redman is a former city employee with the Department of Parks. Mr. Redman filed his statement on August 28, 2017. And owes a late filing penalty of $250. FD 17028, Joshua Reed. Joshua Reed is a former city employee with the Department of Watershed. Mr. Reed filed his statement on August 15, 2017, and owes a late filing penalty of $250. FD 17038, Christopher David Watson is a former city employee with the Department of Watershed. Mr. Watson filed his statement on June 1st, 2017, and owes a late filing penalty of $200. FD 17042, Larry Williams. Larry Williams is a former city employee with the executive offices. Mr. Williams filed his statement on June 27, 2017, and owes a late filing penalty of $250. With regards to these 11 cases that I just presented, all respondents were required filers, and we have shown that the required notice was provided pursuant to Section 2814 and Board Rule 8. Further, the respondents in each case failed to appeal the administrative decisions issued in each of their cases. Therefore, we respectfully ask that the Board find all late filer respondents in violation of Section 2814 of the Code of Ethics and issue a sanction in accordance with the fine schedule in Board Rule 8.6. And I can take any questions you may have regarding those filers.
I have questions regarding Mr. Ratchford and Ms. Douglas. It looks like both of them did file appeals.
I was going to handle Mr. Ratchford next because he's the one late filer that we actually had an appeal to the board.
Okay.
Ms. Douglas appealed the notice of delinquency to our office. In the administrative decision, we denied that appeal because she did not provide reasonable cause to do so. And some of the rationale is included in the book. There should be, I think there's an email mm-hmm. that exchanged with her and her original appeal form.
Other questions? So if I'm looking at this summary page on the late filers, we're leaving out John Ratchford, case number FD-17026. But the remaining cases we could consider as a group?
Yes, the 11. We've already accepted the exhibits.
Okay. We did that earlier. So, all right. I'm not sure what kind of...
It'd be a motion to essentially find them in violation of Section 2814.
Right. Yeah, okay. So may I have a motion then to adopt the list of late filers as presented by Mr. Santiago, with the exception of John Ratchford, case FD-17025, as presented, and to impose the sanctions recommended?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second? Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. So that motion passes. Thank you.
Okay. So the next case is the John Ratchford, FD-17026. He's a former employee with the Department of Human Resources. He filed a statement on August 21st, 2017, and the administrative decision was for a fine of $250. Following the issuance of the administrative decision, Mr. Ratchford filed an appeal of the administrative decision to the Board of Ethics for your consideration this evening. His appeal form is located under the yellow tab for his case, FD-17026.
It's actually, there's a red appeal tab behind.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's move back. Okay, so it should be in the back of your books. Yeah. Is it in the back of the books?
All right, so his appeal is based on the fact that he was fired, he had to move, and he's saying he did not get...
the argument. I did speak to him by phone, and what he told me was that he was, after he left the city employment, that he moved from his residency, but he was still receiving mail there. So we never received any sort of bounce back of his mailings. So we would argue that we have met the required due process notices for the case. However, we would ask that the penalty be reduced due to the fact that he did proactively reach out to our office. And due to his filing history, he's been the last 2 years, he's been actually an early filer. So while we do feel that we did provide proper notice, I do feel that there may be a reason to reduce the, so that would be our recommendation, would be to reduce the fine to $100.
To $100?
From $250 to $100.
Okay. All right. Further questions?
Santiago, quick question. Did Mr. Ratchford provide any other documentation to show that he moved, or just the...
No, he did not, and that's the one part of the basis why I still feel that we should find him in violation of the code.
Right. I mean, he did sign this appeal under penalty of perjury, although he did not apparently provide any other documentation of his change of address. So. And in fact, on his appeal form, he's using the same address that... Address or not? That's interesting.
It is, and so he didn't... He actually admitted to getting the mailings at that address. He just said he didn't actually physically get them until then. So that was his argument, and I decided to look back at the history and see what his filing history. Based on that, we felt that since he did actually reach out to our office, unlike some others who did not, that there
might be a basis to reduce his fine, but not, but still find him in violation of the code.
I move that we adopt the recommendation presented by Mr. Santiago, in including the reduction in the fine to $100.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, so that motion passes, and the fine will be reduced from $250 to $100 for Mr. Ratchford.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the final category of filers we have is our non-filers. We have 14 of them this year, each of which were required to file under Section 2814 and who owe a fine pursuant to Board Rule 8.9, which outlines the penalties for non-filers. The respondent in each of these cases failed to file their 2017 city financial disclosure statement, respond to any of the notices from our office, or appeal the penalties that were issued. The first case is FD-17002 in the matter of James Bailey. James Bailey is a city board member with the Beltline TAD Advisory Committee who has failed to file and owes the non-filing penalty of $500. FD-17029 is Don Reynolds. Don Reynolds is a city board member with SPI 16 Midtown Development Review Committee. It's failed to file and owes the filing penalty of $500. Donna Stevens, FD-17035. Donna Stevens is a city board member with the neighborhood planning units. He has failed to file and owes the non-filing penalty of $500. FD-17036, Jason Ward. Jason Ward is a former city board member with SPI 16 Midtown Development Review Committee who has failed to file and owes the non-filing penalty of $500. FD-17003, Terry Nichelle Bradley is a former city employee who has failed to file and owes the non-filing penalty. FD-17008, Kojo Guyon is a former city employee with the city planning department who has failed to file and owes the non-filing penalty of $500. FD-17016, Grace Lampton. Grace Lampton is a former city employee with the Department of Watershed who has failed to file and owes the non-filing penalty of $500. FD-17019, Brian Love. Brian Love is a former city employee with the Department of Watershed who failed to file and therefore owes the non-filing penalty of $500. FD-17022, Sidco McCoy is a former city employee with the Department of Public Works who failed to file and therefore owes the non-filing penalty of $500. FD-17030, Crystal Richardson is a former city employee with the Department of Human Resources who has failed to file and owes the non-filing penalty of $500. FD-17031, Karen Schroeder is a former city employee with the Department of Watershed who failed to file and therefore owes the non-filing penalty of $500. Anne-Marie Sotillo is a former city employee with APD who's failed to file and owes the non-filing penalty of $500. Ronnie White, FD-17040, is a former city employee who's failed to file and owes the non-filing penalty of $500. FD-17043, Vonda Ray, the former city employee with the Department of Watershed, has failed to file and owes the non-filing penalty of $500. So to recap, for all 14 of these non-filer cases, the respondents were required to file under 2814. We have demonstrated through Exhibits 1 through 5 the required notice pursuant to Board Rule 8 and 2814. Further, these respondents have failed to file their statements, respond to any of the notices issued by our office, or to appeal the penalties in their matters. So therefore, we respectfully ask the Board to find all 14 non-filer respondents violation of Section 2814 of the Code of Ethics and issue a $500 penalty according to Rule 8.9. And I'll take any questions on the non-filers that you may have.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Santiago on the non-filers? All right. Then is there a motion to adopt Mr. Santiago's recommendation regarding these 14 non-filers and to impose the sanctions requested of $500 per person?
Move that we adopt the recommendations by Mr. Santiago.
Thank you. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you, Mr. Newmark. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. The motion passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll prepare the final orders for your signature.
Thank you. Thank you for your work on those cases and your presentation, Mr. Santiago. That's very clear. Next is the ethics officer's report. So, Ms. Zengova.
Thank you, and I will keep this very brief. I'm just going to highlight some of the points. As you know, the report is for your information. You can take that with you. I think that should be behind tab. Four? Sorry. Yes. So as far as under operations, just a few things I'd point out, which is that I did have an opportunity to attend the candidate campaign briefing. As we all know, this is election season, so I had an opportunity to talk about the jurisdiction of the Ethics Board and office regarding use of city property during the election season. We also had a staff retreat, which we used that time. It was in-house to plan and strategize some of our goals and review our annual plan. The staff has been working very hard, as always, and I do appreciate all their dedication during this time. As far as under public education outreach, we have also been mailing out advisory on use of city property during campaigns, like I mentioned before. We did do and draft and finalize our fall edition of our ethics newsletters, and it's actually in the sleeve of your notebooks, and you can take that with you. We plan to send that out hopefully by the beginning of next week. We continue to work on our capital project for the new e-file system, which has been moving along very well. I'm very pleased with the progress of our developer, and we are hoping to get this launched by the new filing season of FY 2018. And really, that's about it. And I'll take any questions that you may have about our report.
Thank you, Ms. Zengova. Questions?
Zengova, can you share a little bit about what some of the discussion was at the campaign briefing?
Sure. There was a panel discussion, so they had different people, and it was organized by the Office of the Municipal Clerk. And as far as the ethics office, the role of the ethics office was just to talk about our jurisdiction over use of city property, and the other panelists there talked about their roles primarily during the election and any questions that any potential candidates may have. And at the end of the session, there was a question and answer portion, so the candidates there, as well as the members of the public, could ask questions of the panel.
I have a question. Were the majority of the candidates in attendance?
I think it was a cross-section of people. I don't know if it was a majority, but there was a good number of people there.
Mm-hmm. All right, so no further questions. And then budget, looks like we are...
Pretty much. As far as that, again, this is information for you, so you can see what our spending looks like. We are spending as budgeted, and that report is for you to take. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
All right. Thank you. But any further questions for Ms. Zengova?
I do. I'm sorry. Fine. Is there somewhere where we have note of which candidates were at this briefing? In the record somewhere?
I would have to check with the clerk's office. I'm not too sure. And I can't say I recall everyone who was there. That was there. I'm sorry.
Just as far as the candidates go, I know there are a lot of them, but
It wasn't just candidates for mayor. There were also candidates for city council, for the I think the school board. Yeah. So it was a mixer of people there. Yeah.
Not critical timing wise, but if there is a way to get a list from the clerk's office, I'd be interested in seeing that, but it's not time sensitive.
Okay, I don't know if that information is available. I can check with them.
I mean, if they have a document, it would certainly be an open record. So
yes, okay, we can find out. No problem.
The question of whether they collected the information in the first place. So they may just have invited people. All right. Anything further, Ms. Zengova?
No, nothing as far as reporting.
Okay. And public comments, was there anybody who signed up? Since we actually have public here. It's very exciting. All right then. So there are no public comments. There we go. The next Board of Ethics meeting will be Thursday, October 19, 2017, at 6 o'clock in City Council Committee Room 1. Thank you very much. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, and good night.
Anything?